thank you for the opportunity to receive from heaven. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you that your word is eternal. It's life-changing. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We honor your word this morning that our lives will be changed forever for the better. Your word will not return void and empty and useless and unproductive in our hearts and in our lives. It will accomplish what you sent it to. We thank you for breakthroughs, blessings, and benefits from your word. We thank you for divine illumination and revelation and understanding and greater concept and understanding of your word. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will break every yoke of bondage. In Jesus' name. Now, everybody say this out loud. You can hold your Bible up if you want to. Or if you have a little device, you can hold it up. Just hold it up and say, this is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. Not the word of a man, but the word of God as it is in truth. I expect to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, never changing, never failing word of Almighty God in Jesus' name. And I give Jesus all the glory, all of the honor, all the praise, and all of the adoration in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You're expecting today. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. It says, Romans chapter 3, verse 25. It says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Everybody say the law of faith. And he says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. For he, or is he the God of the Jews only? Or is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the scripture says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just will live by faith. Everybody say exceedingly, growing faith. Now, the things that you and I, friends, need to believe and trust God for requires that our faith grows and develops. And today we're going to take a snapshot and a sampling of a church and a process of how to grow your faith exceedingly in a short period of time. So you're believing with me. We've seen by reviewing these verses that we just read that faith is a spiritual law. You got to get that, because people say, well, laws are being made or broken, you know, or kept. This law, you need to understand the law of faith. Yes, and faith is also incrementally can increase to different levels, because we can go from faith to faith. Or in other words, like we said before, as we just read, you can go from one degree of faith to another degree. perhaps we may need to get out of elementary faith and go to middle school and get to high school and get to college. Praise God. Our faith needs to go from one degree to another degree. And then, of course, ultimately, faith is a lifestyle and the way we are to live with and for our Lord. It's a lifestyle. Therefore, it's important to know and understand the principles of the law of faith and live by faith in order to grow and go to the new next level or degrees. Our faith needs to be and should be growing and flourishing. I'll say it again. Our faith needs to be and should be growing and flourishing. So if our faith is not growing, there is a problem. There is pain that you should not be experiencing. Why? Because your faith is your victory. Your faith takes you higher and not lower. So knowing what faith is, how faith comes, how to release your faith or turn your faith loose is vitally important. We always say and encourage people, before you go to work that day, before you get up and get going that day, have your faith working that day, or send your faith to go that day. And think about this for a minute. Do a quick mental review of your last week. Every day, did you release your faith and put your faith to work every day? You may have gone to work. You might have gotten up, showered, done your hygiene things, put your clothes on, and do your business. But is your faith doing its business? Amen. Knowing how to receive from God and knowing how to resist the enemy is crucial and vital to every one of us, online or sitting in front of me. Faith, as we said before, is the greatest activator of our covenant with God, because God doesn't relate to us casually. He relates to us by faith in what he has promised and provided through his covenant. And so he's faith is the greatest activator of our covenant with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Love is the greatest motivator, we said, but faith is the greatest activator. You will never activate and appropriate or access what belongs to you in Christ if you don't have faith. Even though God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, and he's provided his grace for everything we need in life throughout the rest of our lives, more than enough, you'll never activate it, you'll never access it, you'll never appropriate it into your life personally if you don't use your faith. Got your attention, right? All right. So, in other words, by our act or actions of faith in God, in his word, we activate, access, and appropriate all that God has provided and promised in and through Jesus Christ. Victory, blessings, triumph, heavenly benefits, etc., etc. Now, Hebrews 11 verses 1 through 3 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. How are you going to have a good testimony of your life when you leave this earth? By faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of the things which are visible. Everybody say, by faith. Amplified says in verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. In other words, it not based on what you feel or what you see. Faith is based on what is unseen, but it's real, just as real in the spiritual realm. And your faith helps to transfer it from the unseen reality into your seen reality. We said it this way about money. Money says on it, U.S. dollar or whatever, $20, $100 bill, this is legal tender for all. Faith is a legal tender for everything God has provided and promised. How do I procure or purchase what God has already provided and promised? How do I appropriate that? By faith. It's the channel or the canal which things that are unseen, but yet they're very real, provided by God, promised in his word, come into your seen reality. Whew. That's good enough for you to come to church and comb your hair this morning. Amen. So we see the definition of faith in this verse. We see that faith is not hope. It is the substance of what we are hoping for. You're hoping to heal. You're hoping to get your needs met. You're hoping to see your family come and serve Jesus and serve the Lord. Your faith gives substance to that hope. In other words, we're persuaded and fully convinced of something that is truth, even though it is contrary to natural facts, our feelings, or real figures that seem opposed to us. We are expecting something good, and we're excited about it. We're expecting something good from God. In other words, we see it. We said, even though this is contradictory to the facts, the feelings I have, or the figures that I'm looking at, I believe God. Amen. That this truth will override and supersede these facts, these feelings, these bad figures. Amen. Faith is not based on feelings, natural circumstances. Natural circumstantial facts or figures, overwhelming odds. Faith is based on the truth, revealing word of God. And where the word of God is known, the will of God is known. If he said in his word, it's up to you and me to believe it in order to receive it. I'll say it again. If he said it in his word, it's up to you and me to believe it in order to receive it. Hallelujah. Faith is our expression of confidence in God and in his word. Faith is our unquestioning belief in action. Now, remember, if you're going to believe, like, for example, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, ye were what? Healed. Was that truth? Is that truth? What the facts may be, I'm not well right now. I got this or that or this diagnosis. But what does faith do? Faith is unquestioning belief. Because if you question why I'm not healed or how am I going to get healed, that's questioning belief. That's not unquestioning belief. Because if you believe and trust God fully, you say, I don't question it. I don't doubt 1 Peter 2:24. So Kenneth E. Hagin was in a situation. He had got healed of 3 incurable blood diseases, a deformed heart. His heart beat irregular, like he said, like one cylinder hitting on a T Model 4 back in the day. He had partial paralysis. So from his waist down, he could not move his legs or couldn't feel his even nerves, muscles in it, for 16 months. And it had gotten healed, but the devil, how many of you know, the devil comes back sometimes. It's always a counterattack. Most people lose their victory or their healing by a counterattack more than anything else. because the devil is persistent. And so his testimony I got right here, he said, well, because he quotes Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now listen to this. While I was lying in bed in that pastor's home, the devil said, remember the doctor told you that nothing could help you. This is before he got healed the first time. So the devil bring it back old news. He always loved to play old tapes, brings old records back in your brain to get you to disbelieve and distrust God. He said, this is the devil, they said your symptoms would come back and you would die. He's re-quoting what the doctor told him. He's giving him the facts from the doctors. He's giving him the diagnosis from the doctor. This time, you're not going to get your healing. This is the devil talking to him. But he says this, I just covered my head and started saying, ha, 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 ha. I said that over and over again, I must have laughed that way 10 minutes. It didn't say he felt that way. He laughed that way. I said, Mr. Devil, and the devil said to me, what are you laughing at about? I said, Mr. Devil, I'm laughing at you because you said I'm not going to get my healing. I laughed another 10 minutes. And all the time I was experiencing serious, alarming symptoms in my body. The devil asked me again, what are you laughing about? Now he's 20 minutes into laughing. He's in the pastor's house, sleeping in a guest bedroom. He's got the sheets over his head, and he's got alarming symptoms going off in his body. He's in serious pain physically. He said, I'm laughing at you. Because see, what does the devil try to do? Make you question what you believe. Make you doubt 1 Peter 2:24. That by his stripes you were healed. Are you listening to me? He said, I'm laughing at you. He said, you're not going to get, you said I'm not going to get my healing. I wasn't planning on getting it. And that's where people's faith focus is wrong. They're trying to get something that Jesus already got. He said, why would I want to get it? Jesus already got it for me. 1 Peter 2:20 says, by whose stripes ye were healed. He emphasized the word. I don't have to get it. Jesus got it because he got it, I have it. Just gather up your duds and get out of here. I mean, you know, faith will talk back at the devil. Smith Wigglesworth says, faith laughs at impossibilities. Does your faith laugh at impossible situations in your life? Because not only faith receives from God, but faith resists the devil. So the same faith you use to receive from God, you got to use the same faith to stand and resist the devil. Because he'll bring thoughts, ideas, suggestions that tell you that this sickness is of God. This sickness you're not going to overcome. This shame you're not going to break through. This sorrow you're not going to, it's going to overwhelm you. You're always going to be depressed and discouraged and walk around grieving and looking like you're death warmed over. Don't shout me now. I'm preaching real good today. Somebody say, glory to God. He said, every symptom left when he said, gather up your duds and get out. I didn't have to pray. I didn't have to get someone to lay hands on me. I just acted on the word. That's what faith is. Faith is believing. Come on now. Speaking and acting upon the word of God. Believing, speaking, and acting upon the word of God. And he said, because I knew what the word says. That's the best way to receive healing. Because if your faith, listen to this, but if your faith is not at that level, don't condemn yourself. Just hook up with another method and keep growing, because we're talking about exceeding growing faith, until you get to the place where you can act for yourself. Everybody say this, I don't have to get my healing. Jesus already got it. And because he got it, I have it. I'm already healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says it this way. The Word of God says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you can even stop at impossible and just stop reading. Without faith, it's impossible. Pastor, can I get, can I earn more money this year? Without faith, it's impossible. Can I get a promotion or an increase? Without faith, it's impossible. Can I ever see my family come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and serve God with all of their heart, soul, and mind, and might, and muscle? Without faith, it's impossible. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible. Now let's keep reading. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he what? He is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you got to believe he's a rewarder. He's not a robber. Real faith, listen to me, receives from God and knows how to resist the wicked lies, deceitful fears of the devil. God is pleased when we, his beloved children, are receiving from him. Y'all parents know, grandparents know, great-grandparents even, bless your heart. You know when that child or grandchild, great-grandchild, doesn't want to receive something you've given. And that's the idea of God's amazing grace. That means grace represents everything God has given, everything God has provided through Jesus Christ. It's grace. But a gift is a free gift. When he talked about in the context of God and giving us things, he gave you and I the free gift of salvation. The free gift of redemption. Come on now. The free gift of reconciliation. The free gift of righteousness. He gave us something we did not deserve or earn or merit. He gave it to us. But what if your child or grandchild or great-grandchild comes up to you and says, I don't want that. And you know it's one of the greatest things for their life. And for their blessing and for their benefit, but they say, I don't want that. God is pleased when we say, yes, Lord, I'll receive that. God is pleased when we are receiving what he has given. He's given us promises which are empowering and enabling. He's given us provision that we can live life not in lack or limitation. We can live life with liberality. We can be generous. And he's pleased when we're overcoming the troubles, trials, and tribulations, and temptations of the enemy. So how do we look at our faith? So God is pleased when we're receiving, and God is pleased when we're overcoming. If you're not overcoming, because you do have to overcome some things, God didn't say, because you have faith, you're never going to have any problems. You're going to have problems. You're going to have pressure. You're going to have predicaments. You're going to have perils. You're going to have pain. And you have to overcome those things. Now listen to what he says. How can we look at our faith? How well we receive or take the promises or the prophecies given or spoken over us or to us. How well do you receive it? It's by faith. Your faith level determines your receiving level. We always say if you believe, you will receive. Amen. And faith is your belief in action. So how well are you been receiving from God last week, last month? So there's three characteristics of a faith man or woman, and that they are, number one, quick to forgive. Because our faith won't work if we don't forgive. So some people don't receive a lot because they haven't forgiven a lot. Remember, our faith will never outgrow our forgiveness. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. Because some people have tiny little grudges, tiny little pebble-sized oughts in their heart that ought not to be there. And if we're not quick to forgive, if we let bitterness and things bother us by other people to the degree we don't release forgiveness, you'll never be receiving by faith. Characteristic of a spiritual pilgrim or a child of God who's maturing is that they're quick to forgive. Everybody say, I'm quick to forgive.
I'm quick to forgive.
Sometimes you even have to forgive in advance. You know, some of the establishments are underhanded because people haven't gone back to work, and you know that the service is not going to be perfect, and you know the food may not be perfect, or you know that the things may not be right because they're surviving. They're working under duress. But we go in there demanding stuff, and we don't go in and say, I forgive every waiter, every servant, every cook before I even get to the restaurant. I went to one this weekend. I already knew. They had hiring signs all up, and they were so they had three different iterations of hiring signs up. So one was so faded, it was just, it looked bad. And you go in, and you know they're in trouble. But what do you say? Father, I love them. You love them. I forgive them. And so my wife and I went in the restaurant, got horrific service, had food issues left and right. But guess what? I already forgiven them.
Amen.
See, your faith will never outlast your forgiveness. So for the tip, so some people ain't forgiven because they get to the tip, they want to punish the person. So for tip, I doubled up on my tip. And we put cash on the table on top of the double tip. Because God says this, whoever I bless, I take away that ability for them to hurt me. Whatever I bless, I take away its ability to hurt me. In other words, he said, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. In other words, you act in love. Why? Because you want to keep your faith operating. So we gave him a blow. I think the lady was stunned when she saw the tip and she saw the money on the table. She was stunned because she said, we had problems. We're going under a lot of pain. But hey, God bless you. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Why? Because my faith level will never outgrow and outpace my forgiveness level. My faith to stay on the love line. Some people get out of line. How do you get out of line, Pastor? How do I get out of line? You get off the love line. When you get off the love line, you get out of line. And you go out of bounds. Every step out of God, love is a step out of God. And it's a step out of the will of God for your life. Faith works by love. I got to be quick. Everybody say quick. What is quick? Well, I like how he's gone home. He used to be Undersecretary Defense for the Navy, Johnny Johnson. He said, instant forgiveness and unconditional 5-second rule. That means he doesn't allow anger, aughts, or animosity and anxiety to last more than 5 seconds. 5 seconds. And he says, I forgive him. Because if you don't release it, that anger, that bitterness, that hatred will rise up like a weed. Y'all know the rain's been around here, and the weeds grow up faster than the grass. And those weeds will come up, and it'll choke out your faith. Everybody say, I must endeavor at all times, everywhere, to be quick to forgive. What's the second one? Be quick to repent. Y'all have heard me say it before. You keep your repenter close. And some of us need to keep it real close. If you're going through problems and pain, you need to keep your repenter real close. Because as the scripture, Peter was explaining, how many times a day do I need to repent? This guy need to repent before I cut his head off. And he thought seven times was way more than enough. And God said, what? 70 times seven. So there's no limit on repentance. But some people limit their repentance because they're mad at someone. They want to wait till overnight. And what is the sunset rule is there in the Bible. He said, be angry and what? Sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, either the extroverted anger, meaning the expressive kind, or the introverted anger, the one you hold in your heart. That vengeance, that envy, that grudge, that eye toward I'm getting you back. He said, don't let it go past the sundown. Why? Because it will metastasize and you'll make you homicidal or suicidal. You'll hurt yourself or hurt other people. You got to be quick to repent. Everybody say, Lord, help me to be quick to repent. That means you change. You 180 real quick. You stop going that the wrong way and you start turning around going the right way. You make the changes and the choices that bring life and not death into your heart, your home, your habits, etc. Then you quick to believe. Everybody say quick to believe. You know, Jesus, when he saw his disciples in the upper room, you know, he upbraided them. That means he whipped them. He scolded them. Righteously, of course. He righteously scolded them. Why did he scold them? Why did he run in the room and the Lord started scolding them verbally? He said he upbraided them for their, they were called them slow of heart to believe. Some people are dragging their feet to get in faith. I doubt that happened. They just doubt peddlers. They're so full of doubt, it's disgusting. You got to be quick to believe. Everybody say quick to forgive, quick to repent, and quick to believe. You believe the best of everyone, or you believe the best in everything. How do you look at your faith? You got to look at your faith. How often do I rejoice? Because you got to look at how well do I receive, but also how often do I rejoice? Thanksgiving and praise when I release my faith. Because faith rejoices. We said doubt complains, worries, and is sad, but faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So faith rejoices. The first action step of faith is to rejoice. What was Brother Hagin doing when the devil was giving those alarming symptoms? He said, ha, 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 a form of laughter or rejoicing. When you stop rejoicing, you stop receiving. If you only knew, dear friends, what was on the other side of your mountainous, huge, big, large problems or pressures in life, you would rejoice every day because your faith has the capacity to remove mountains. But your faith rejoices. Your faith rejoices. In God, or you're waiting. You know, when you're receiving from God, or you're waiting for the full manifestation of things that you trust and believe God for. If you believe you received, when you prayed in faith, you would thank God for it. You're thanking God for it when you're at your meal table. You're thanking God for it when you're getting up. You're thanking God as you're going to the bathroom. You're praising God and rejoicing in your bathroom. When you get out of the shower or the tub, you're praising and thanking God when you're cooking dinner. Come on now. You're praising and thanking God when you're driving down the road. Amen. Number three is how effectively do you resist or refuse the fearful and doubtful and deadly thoughts, ideas, and suggestions of the devil, demons, and evil spirit. Now, I'll say this because everybody needs to know this. That you have angels assigned to you every day, but you have demons got an assignment on your life all around you. You're not at peace, spiritually speaking, in that context. You're at war. Your conflict is not natural only. It is spiritual. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. So you got to resist and refuse the devil's ideas, thoughts, and suggestions. Or I like to say TIS, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. So he's going to bring that to you every day. He's trying to try to tempt you and talk you out of faith into fear. He's going to try to talk you and give you an idea to go from being focused on God to being doubtful of God. He's going to suggest to you to act in, out of frustration or act out of fretfulness instead of acting in faith. You've got to resist that. Just like Kenneth E. Hagin did. So as we get ready to think through this, we can enlarge our capacity to receive. How much do you receive right now from God? Can you receive? Look at Isaiah 54, 22 and 3 in the Amplified Classic. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So you will spread abroad to the right hand and the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make desolate cities to be inhabited. Now, David Barton said once, God loves to communicate his absolute limitless goodness to all. The only things that limit him from imparting his goodness to any human being is that person's capacity to receive. Everybody say capacity to receive. So that can be enlarged because faith receives. We all have a greater capacity that has remained untouched, underutilized, greater faith capacity that's remained untouched, underutilized, and underdeveloped. There's so much more than what we've received and overcome up until now. Amen. There's so much more. But what's the limiting factor? Your capacity to receive, your faith capacity to receive from God. Spiritually, there are no limits to what we can do or we can have. Mark 11:23 says, for surely I say unto you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. See, this profound and powerful truth of Scripture tells us that when we eliminate all doubt, then we will receive without fail and without delay. Now, some of us can probably attest to the fact that there has been failure and there has been delays. Now, what does that mean? You locate your faith. I can enlarge my faith's capacity to receive. I need to enlarge my faith's capacity to receive. Now, how do you do that? Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Y'all getting something out of this today? Amen. Proverbs chapter verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from their eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that, what? Find them, and health to all their flesh. So this is the biblical principle of total immersion. Total immersion helps us step up our faith. To do what? What are you doing? You're breaking off some chokeholds of your capacity to believe and trust God and receive from God. You got to break off those chokeholds. What's a chokehold? Some people say, well, I can't see myself increasing financially. That's a chokehold, because you're stuck on the source being other things or other people other than God. So I can't believe or receive more financially because I got a chokehold there. That, what does that mean? Every time a suggestion comes or a prompting of the Lord comes to say, trust me on another level financially, or trust me to help you overcome this sickness or disease or diagnosis, you get choked up. You get choked up in your faith. You got to break off those chokeholds. How do you do that? By this principle of total immersion. Number two, you got to conquer the limitations that is the negative stronghold of thinking about the things of God. In other words, I'm thinking about the things of God, and then an alarm goes off in me because my mind says, you can't have that. You can't have that freedom. You can't have that deliverance. You can't have that victory. You can't have that blessing. You can't have that triumph. That's a limiting factor. That's a limitation that needs to be conquered. Sister Gloria Copeland says it this way: don't meditate on the need. We call that worry, fretting, anxiety. Meditate on the word for the things you need to receive. See, this is what Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 does. You got to keep it before your eyes, keep it in your ears, and keep it in your heart. I told someone on Wednesday night, you know, I fast Facebook a lot of times. Why? Because Facebook is not going to help your faith. That's right. Faith comes by hearing. I need to hear from him. And hearing by what? The word of God. Or in other words, a word from God. So I need to get in the word where I can hear from God. Now listen to this testimony. John's going to bring up a video clip of the Spirit of Faith. And it's about a lady who was totally burned in a car accident, but she applied the principle of total immersion. Listen to what she says. Go ahead, John. Put it up there. This is Dear Pastors, Mel and Desiree Harris. Just enjoy this for a minute. This is about total immersion.
Ministry. And so I was completely into my career, and I'm just, you know, chugging along, and he's going to different ministry things, and I would go unless I had a call to go to work, because that was, you know, just my priority. So I had loved Jesus, but I just didn't have my priorities together. And it was February 25th, 1985, that I was supposed to be riding in a 4x4 truck. And at a certain point, my stunt was to press the button, which would make the hood of the vehicle go up in smoke. And then I was to dive out of the vehicle. When I pressed the button and went to dive, it wasn't a smoke bomb. It was a 14-pound naphthalene fire bomb. And so usually if a stunt person's working around fire, you either have on an asbestos suit or fire gel. I had nothing. So my entire face, neck, chest, arms were all burned in second and third degree burns. It completely took off my upper lip. I was knocked out. And when I came to, they told me a helicopter was coming to take me to the Sherman Oaks Burn Center. Who should they call? And I said, call my husband. He needs to start praying for me. And so they got me into the helicopter. And I remember on the way to the burn center having this heart-to-heart and just going, I just kind of saw life. I saw my entire life. I saw that I'd been duped by the devil, you know, that my priorities were not straight, that I had the industry above God, and that there's no amount of money that's worth disobeying God and not following his path. I should have been killed. I knew this hit was to kill me. So now I'm in intensive care, critical condition, being shot full of morphine, having allergic reactions, asking to be taken off the morphine. My dad comes in, he starts crying. My husband, who never cries, comes in, he takes a look at me, he starts crying. So I'm like, okay, this is not good. And he just said, Desiree, and I thank God for this. I thank God for the 2 years we had sitting under the Word, hearing from the Copelands, having them teach us the Word, that Jesus loves us, that He's a good God, that He's a healing God, and that the Word of God is health and healing to all your flesh. And my husband said, this is what we're standing on, Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. And I had a little cassette player, and they brought it in with all my Kenneth Copeland tapes and Gloria Copeland tapes, and I would hear the word and I would meditate on the word. And what should have been the worst time of my life was the best time. The other thing that we so learned was, you know, what you're saying, not going by what you're feeling. And the nurse wanted me, my lip was all infected, it was starting to grow back, and she wanted me to look in the mirror. And I wasn't going to accept how I looked. I didn't want to identify with how I looked. She said, you need to accept that you're going to be scarred for the rest of your life. I said, no, I'm not going to look. And my husband would bring 8x10 photos and say, Desiree, I want you to look at this. This is what I want you to see. This is how you're going to look. And so I walked out of there 10 days later with it looking like I had a sunburn, with Dr. Grossman saying, Desiree, this is a miracle.
We would read the Word of God to her for 12 hours. Her dad would take a shift, and then I would take a shift, because we were standing on that scripture, the Word of God is health and healing to all your flesh. And we read the Word of God to her. We would quote healing scriptures. And we had been just so blessed to be under Ken and Gloria's ministry and teaching, and we began to quote the Word and confess the Word of God like Ken and Gloria taught us. And in 10 days, she just walked out of there. And I'm just so thankful.
God's not a respecter of persons. What He's done for us, He'll do for you. And His Word's health and healing. And if you meditate on it, if you think about it,
faith comes.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So we figured to show that little clip because some of us need to get serious about our faith. Amen. That means we need to fast other things and get and feed our faith. Our faith's been starving or underfed. Praise the Lord. Now let me close with this about the Thessalonian church, how they stepped up their faith. Paul gave them a faith challenge in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Look at this in the Amplified. It says, and we continue to pray especially with the most intense earnestness night and day that we might see your face, you face to face, to mend and make good whatever may be imperfect and lacking in your faith. Now, perhaps, friends, there may be something that's imperfect or lacking in your faith. Look at what it says in New Living. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. So perhaps your faith has some gaps in it. Why can't I trust God for that bigger or better thing that I need to be? There may be gaps. They were limited in their faith, and they needed to come up with to the next level. And maybe that's where you and we might be at. We might be limited in our faith, and we need to come up to another level. I think this is a challenge we have to accept today. Paul knew by the Holy Spirit exactly what to do to break through their limitation. He had a strategic plan to help them enlarge their faith capacity. Listen to what 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, which was 2 months later. Everybody say 2 months. You can get to exceeding. Look, we are bound to thank God for you always, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all the your persecutions and tribulations you endure. The ESV says it this way: your faith is growing abundantly. The NIV says it this way: your faith is growing more and more. The Message says it this way: your faith is growing phenomenally. The New Living Translation says your faith is flourishing. It only took 2 months, ladies and gentlemen, for their faith to grow phenomenally, more and more, and flourish. It took 2 months for their faith capacity to go to a new level. It took spiritual training and exercise. Through strategic training, our faith capacity can enlarge. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to put some of us on a faith training program where you need to get your faith up to another level. What happens when your faith grows, ladies and gentlemen? We said it before. First, Satan or demonic influence over you in your life wanes. That means the devil can't impose his will on your life like he has been in the past. Number two, the circumstances and challenges of your life become less and less formidable. And then third, the paralyzing, poisonous, and insidious and imprisoning fear and phobias that you've learned or acquired get dismantled, get diminished, and destroyed in your life. Fear needs to get destroyed. Because when fear starts, your faith stops. When fear is tolerated, your faith gets contaminated. When fear begins, your faith comes to end. You got to destroy fear. So it's time for us to break through the poverty, the lack, the limiting chokehold, and negative strongholds and move up to a new level of faith. Who's with me? We can't just cut God back. Now, you've heard me say this, and I'm being very, very serious with you right now. Because the devil, if he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And everyone, he'll give you a thought, idea, suggestion to give an excuse or to say, God, exempt me out. I can't do that. I can't get in the word. I can't grow in faith. I can't spend time with that. But you spend time online. You'll spend time doing what you want to do. But it's now the time to spend to get your faith up to where the level it needs to be. I remember Brother Copeland said when he first started, he learned this principle from the military. Because in the Army, they have what they call total immersion training. Total immersion training is simply for you to learn a language in a short period of time. They just drop you in where they only speak that language. They put you in an environment where you just hear that language 24/7. So you don't have somebody translating, interpreting, and you're learning a soft schedule. No, they put you in hardcore immersion. They dunk you in that environment and say you're surrounded and enveloped with that. And they said within 3 weeks, usually a person could come out and have a lot of understanding and fluency in that language. And they said, that process of immersion like that puts grooves on your brain, new grooves. So you now understand that language. Some of us need to let the Holy Spirit put new grooves in our faith brain. So we understand faith on a higher level than what we've experienced and seen before. You can't cut God back. You can't say, well, I ain't got time. But you take time to waste to do things you want to do. You don't have to watch the movie on the first day. It's out. You don't have to eat the new food that just got promoted by a restaurant. Well, praise the Lord. As we close, the 10 spies we know limited God. In Numbers 13, they all were sent out. These were all 10 preachers, elders. And they said it was a good land, but the 10 spies brought up, the Bible says, an evil report. Anytime, listen to me very closely as I'm closing. Anytime you bring up something that causes fear and that propels and promotes fear, in the flesh, it's an evil report. Some people think, well, I just want to give you the facts. I want to give you all the nasty details. Yes, but there's no spirit of faith, if there's no faith to change those facts by the truth of God's word, it's an evil report. And we said evil is anything or anyone that takes you away from your God-intended or planned purposes. It's evil. Faith always gives a good report. I'll say it again. Faith always gives a good report. Those 10 guys brought up an evil report. Caleb and Joshua were ready to take the land. But Hebrews 13:19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Same thing that will limit us. Psalms 78:41, as I'm closing, they turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Lord. Come on.